This morning, I just have got a wee thought for us today. I'm just thankful for today. Thankful for Sienna. Thankful for the fact that we're here. Just amazing to be able to come together and be able to worship God, to give Him thanks for what He's doing and what He has done. If you were to think about something in your life in 2025 that you could dedicate more to, something specific that you could dedicate more time, more effort, more energy into, what would it be and why? Is there something this year that you could discover that you didn't know before because you've dedicated to finding out something? Or experiencing something, or knowing something, or learning something. What would that look like in normal life? Never mind look like if we did it on a faith basis. If I dedicated more time and effort and energy into discovering who God is and God's plan and purpose for me, for you, what would this year look like? And the passage that we're going to look at today, the heading of it says, thanksgiving and prayer. And it's the next part of Ephesians chapter 1 that we were looking at last week. And I think it is so appropriate for today because we come today with thanksgiving and we come today to pray. It's exactly what we've done. And I believe these are two critical things that we should dedicate our lives to every day and see the impact. When we're really thankful and when we're really praying. Because see, when you're dedicated to something, you'll know this. If you're dedicated to something or someone, it has a different dynamic and a different focus in how you look at these things. You maybe put in a wee bit more energy and effort, maybe a wee bit more enthusiasm into everything that you're dedicated to. The thing that you're pursuing. And then in some ways you look at everybody else, you think, all right, you've just gone, I'm too focused on what it is that I want to look like. But we're determined in it. I want us to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 today. And hear Paul's heart for this group of people who are following Jesus in Ephesus. You'll hear his thanks for them. And you'll also hear his prayer for them. And I wonder if any of these things will echo. If we were saying today, I'm going to dedicate my life to discover and figure this stuff out for myself. Let me just read the passage to you, right? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15. And we'll read down to 23. And then I've just got a few thoughts. Just to encourage you and to make us think today. Maybe reassess life completely. Maybe dedicate our lives afresh into God's hands. Verse 15, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. I pray for you constantly. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. We've just sang that, haven't we? Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church, And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. The heading of this passage was thanksgiving and prayer. And you can almost hear Paul as he speaks to this church. He's gushing, isn't he? He's like, listen, I'm hearing about your faith. And I'm hearing about your love, not just for God, but for everybody. And I'm so thankful that's the way that you're living. I'm so thankful that's what you're devoted to. That's what you're dedicated to. And I've got no doubt as Paul was kind of sharing with them, and he's saying to them, listen, yous are doing brilliant. You're doing great. Keep on going. Don't give up. Because he's so thankful that the love for God is in the right place. And as a result, the love for other people is in the right place. He's encouraged by seeing how this church are living in life and in faith. And it tells us he's not just constantly thanking God, he's constantly praying for them. He's not stopped giving thanks. I pray for you continually. There's his heart. And you can tell he's almost wanting to spur this group of people on to dedicate their lives and to discover God's plan, God's will, God's way. And I think it's no different today. And I think we can know that and experience it together. The people in Ephesus were devoted to loving Jesus. They were devoted to loving each other. And that makes a massive difference to everything and to everyone. It changes cultures. And it changes lives. And you almost get the impression as Paul is a spiritual parent to this church in Ephesus. We are here today, and a lot of what we've just read, we would echo as our thanksgiving for Siena and our prayer for Siena. Would you agree? And the interesting thing is, Paul is this spiritual parent to this church in Ephesus. He is amazed at how they're living this out in a place that it wasn't easy to live for Jesus. So many influences on Ephesus as a place, whether that be the influences with other gods, whether that be the social kind of culture that was there. Politically, it would have been difficult. Spiritually, it was difficult. And these new Christians were navigating living for Jesus, trying to figure it out. Huge pressures in Ephesus with mythology, worship of many gods, a temple built to Artemis, a city that was significant in trade. And then suddenly these people discover a new way to live, a God way to live, living for Jesus. And it was changing them, but they were every day having to be changed. That's the same as us today, eh? I know I've said this before, but if somebody says to me, I've always been like this, I'll never change, I'm a bit skeptical of that person. Because I believe that when we see what God's intention is for us, there's a daily change. Because we're becoming more like Jesus. We're loving more like Jesus. We're living more like Jesus. We're being inspired by Jesus. And we can't stay the same. We have to change. And when you look at our world today and look at our lives today, I suppose it's a parallel to what was going on in Ephesus. Yes, technology's changed, industry's changed, a whole load of things have changed, but they've still got the same challenges and pressures on them to either live for God or no. That's ultimately what it comes down to today. So many things to influence them, to take them away from God rather than bringing them towards God. And with all these influences on them, Paul writes down this prayer that he has for God's people at that time. And I don't believe he would write anything different for us today. So you're listening. Are you going to respond to what God is saying? Paul shares his desire for his wee church. I don't know how big a church it was, right? But I believe it's God's desire for our wee church today as well. When you think about it, parents, your automatic, your autopilot should be to desire the best for your wains. Is that not right? You would do anything for your kids. Provide whatever you can for your kids. Go the extra mile for the kids. Do without for your kids, wouldn't you? That's ultimately how we should be. Parents should always be looking for their best. I'm sure that's what you guys are looking at with Sienna. I want our best every day for Austin and Warren as well. Every day. There isn't a parent in here who wouldn't have that desire to shape and direct and to invest in every area of their lives. And that's what I pick up through this passage. It shapes our example and our expectations. And I think when we read Paul's desire for this church, I want to ask you today, is it your desire? And is it mine? Paul looks and he says, I can clearly see and I've heard that you love Jesus with everything. And as a result, you love everybody else. That's what Jesus calls us to do. But I've got a question before we go any further, right? Think about this for yourself, no anybody else. Because it's easy sometimes when you do a comparison game to compare yourself to the worst person in the room. Because then that makes you look awesome, doesn't it? But this is a personal question for you, right? Does my living out an expression of my faith today make an impact for good and make an impact for God? It's challenging, isn't it? Look back in the past week and think, has my life this week living out my faith and the expression of that faith made an impact for good and for God? Would people know that I love Jesus because of their interaction with me this week? Paul clearly saw it in the church at Ephesus. And it reminds me of those verses that we talk about. Luke 10:27, Matthew 22:36-40, and Mark 12:28-31. Every single one of these passages has the same command in it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest commandment. It's as simple as that. But how hard is it to live in reality? That's when it gets tough. When I say I'm going to love God with all my attitudes, all my behaviors, all my characters, all my decisions, that gets a wee bit more tricky, doesn't it? Because I can date with some of them, and maybe not all of them, and you might be the same. But Jesus says there's no greater commandment, and it looks like the folks in Ephesus were getting this right. Are we getting it right? Am I getting it right? Are you getting it right? Because I've got a wee theory, right? I used to do this often at church. I used to go on a mini rant. This isn't a mini rant. It's just a thought, right? I was thinking of this question this week. It was a thought. I don't get why people's auto-reaction to Christianity most of the time is negative. Right? You think about it. Most of the people you come into contact with now, the minute you mention Christianity, they shut down. They either shut down and run or they shut down and switch off, right? What is it that's caused that? What is it that's got us to this place? Because I know what my faith has brought to my life, and I couldn't live without it. But people see me put this auto stop on, right, big man, I've heard what you're saying, but right, enough's enough. That's all right for you. What is it that gets people to that point? What's the reason? And I'm scared, right, that the reason that other people's attitude towards Jesus is because of our attitude towards them. Our love towards them, our example to them. I want my faith to be something that people say, John, I see the hope that you've got. I see the peace that you've got. I see the joy that you've got. I see the love that you've got in all circumstances. And I want a bit of it. Because I see you've got Jesus. Or does my life cause the opposite? For people to go, like my wee mama used to say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one of them. Thankfully, she did become one of them, by the way, right? But people should be thankful that they've got you in their life because you're empowered and you live by Jesus. And you've got the Holy Spirit working through you. That should be like a magnet rather than something that's repelling people. But often it's because people look and think, I don't see it in you, so why would I believe it? It's a challenge. Challenge for me. And it might be a challenge for you. And actually, sadly, as I've seen many times, people are often impacted by a bad experience of church or a bad experience of other people that shape their mindset and shape their view on who God is. Don't ever let that happen, right? But it's the reality for a lot of people. So what is Paul's prayer for this church? What's our prayer for Siena and for your family today? For every family that's in this church today? What is it that Paul's desire was that we read about? Spiritual wisdom. A couple of weeks ago we thought about trusting in God with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. Spiritual wisdom and insight to see God's way and God's will over ours. That was his prayer for them. Why? It tells us in the passage, so that we will know Jesus better. We'll know Him better today than we knew Him yesterday because we've got into His Word, we've seen it. What else was it he said? Verse 18, he talked about having a confident hope. Not just a wishy-washy belief. Not just like, well, if this all pans out all right, then it'll be fine. No, totally confident in the hope that Jesus brings. Verse 18 says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that He has given to those He called His holy people who are rich, who are His rich and glorious inheritance. Verse 19, his prayer was that they would understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. It says it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that's available to you to live this life of faith. To face the challenges and the obstacles and the things that you're facing. The sin that is completely destroying you, God can break it free. It's the same power. Sometimes we lose sight of that. More power, more strength through that resurrection power. Not just for now, but forever. Not just for this life, but for heaven as well. You know, it's a powerful calling when we see in our lives God's eternal potential for each of us. And that's what we want Sienna to see. But the way she's going to see it is how I'm living. How you're living. No pressure, by the way, she sees you as mace. How we're living in the house. How we're living in our workplace. How we're living in church. How we're living in those social places that we go to and that we enjoy. Would people see and know that I love Jesus and my interaction with Him? I think that's what Paul was commending this church for. He wanted them to be full a Jesus in every way. Last question for you today before I finish. If you had to dedicate your life today forever to Jesus, what will your life look like? And what will your faith look like? What will you discover if you made that your focus for 2025? To say, I want to know you more, Jesus. I want to experience your power, Holy Spirit, in my life. And I want to know, God, your love and your grace and your forgiveness. What would life look like if we dedicated and discovered this today? For the youngest, for the weeest who's at the back, to the oldest, I'm not going to point. But you know where Ian's sitting. Will you live a lifetime dedicating your life to discovering Jesus and his plan and purpose, his forgiveness and grace? Whether you find that early in your life like I did, or whether you find that the day, whatever age you are. Paul says to this church, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you, and I pray for you constantly. Let that be our attitude as we come this morning. And if you this morning are saying, do you know what? I've let it slip. I had been living for Jesus, but it got tough, and I've turned away. Why don't you dedicate yourself right now and discover what God wants to do? If you're sitting here today and you're saying, do you know what? I want to know that forgiveness, that grace. I want to know that hope and love and peace that John's talking about, because the world's not giving me it, but God wants to give me it. What's stopping you? Why don't you dedicate and discover God's forgiveness for you here in this moment? Suppose it comes to a point of surrender, of saying, it's not about me. It's all about him. And that's what we're going to sing in a wee minute. Yet not I, but Christ in me. See, most of the time when I mess up in life, it's because I try to figure it out. I try to do it. But see, when you put Jesus at the centre, when you love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and you love others with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, then I'm going to tell you that's world-changing, and it can change your world right now. Let's take a minute to pray, and then we'll sing this wee song before Douglas comes to lead us in communion. Father, in a world where there's so many influences on us, so many things that try to take us away from you, so many things that cloud our judgment, so many things that we want rather than looking to what it is that you want. And when we dedicate and discover your plan for our lives, it changes everything. It doesn't just give us hope for now, but it gives us a hope of heaven. And I pray, Lord, that today that we would understand the incredible greatness of your power. I pray, Lord, that we would have our hearts and our eyes open to understand the confident hope that you've promised. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live under the authority and guidance and direction of Jesus, who is over everything and in everything. And you want to give us a full life. And I pray, Lord, that today that you would help us to understand what that looks like. Help us to devote and dedicate our lives to you. If there's somebody here this morning that's maybe been off the path for a wee bit, they've went their own way, they've wandered away like that sheep that got lost, I want to thank you that you're a shepherd who comes after the sheep, who picks them up, and who brings them back to the fold. If there's somebody here today that is struggling with an area of life, they just don't see any breakthrough, I pray, Lord, that they would ask right now for the power, that same power that rose Jesus from the dead, to break through, to overcome it, to smash it. But equally, if there's somebody in this room today that's here for the first time and they've never once considered what it would be to live a life dedicated and devoted to discovering you, give them the boldness to start that path today and no stop.